Today's September 18th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $62,011.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Well, it looks like we finally got the cut, Rick.
Got the cut. Things are looking up for Bitcoin, probably down for the dollar, but hey.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting, too. Like, Bitcoin had, last time we recorded, where were we sitting at? We were at, was it 56, 985 last time we recorded?
Yeah, so 57, basically. It's called 57.
Yeah, so we've seen a nice little gain. Part of that was going into the weekend, and I was kind of worried because I think I've said it on the podcast before, like the weekend, whatever we close the week at is usually a good indicator of what's going to happen for the week. And we'd kissed up to the 60,000 mark, and then we had a reduction into the close for the week. And then it seems like everybody was kind of waiting to see what the Fed was going to do. But before we get into that, let's start talking about our theoretical purchases. Where were we sitting on those?
Okay, so it's been almost a year since the first theoretical purchase, at least October 27th, I believe. And if you had $3,000 at the time, that would have bought you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And with today's current price, that $3,000 would be sitting at 5488. So, $2,400 plus in profit, almost $2,500. I mean, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Granted, it's been higher this year. So in the theoretical purchase number two that we would have done, and that one is like right at the halving, the price was right at 64,000. So at 62,000, you still lost a little bit of money, that 0.01564. So it's over at least 1 million Satoshis, but that right now is worth $970.
Okay. Well, and we're getting better again than what we were at last time, because last time we were down 891. I mean, that buy in October of last year was probably one of the most solid decisions so far. We'll have to see how this is going to play out for the rest of the year, especially after that announcement. But one of the things that was interesting, too, we were looking at the chart earlier, and this is just the Bitcoin ETF flows, right, from Farside. And yeah. Something you noticed is that BlackRock has not been buying at all.
No, as far as September goes, they've had one outflow day on the 9th, and then I guess on the 16th they bought 15.8. They sold out the 9th on 9.1, but otherwise it's zeros across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, and
for the whole month of September.
When we look at those flows for the month of September too, like we've had almost a majority of outflows from, the combined totals from all of them. Looks like we've had a few days in the positive, but for the most part, it's been a pretty down month, at least to begin. We're kind of at that halfway point. It's interesting to see how this is going to play out with the Fed rate cut. But yeah, that's the biggest thing that we have to talk about. So Fed rate cut, were you surprised by what they did?
No. I thought that they might have to hold it at 0.025, but I think the Fed is in between a rock and a hard place. They can't cut too much and show their hand on one hand, but then they can't be too timid or the market's going to freak out on them.
Yeah. Yeah. We were kind of talking about that before, and like, this isn't a drastic cut, but it's still a fairly large cut, right?
It's substantial. I think last week we probably would have looked at this and said, I think we're looking at more like 0.25, and some people were saying 0.5, but by the beginning of this week, I was listening to a few different thoughts on it, and some people were making the case for 75 basis points.
Really?
And yeah, I was like, wow. And it was just talking about the bond market and what the interest rates are there. They got to cut several points just to get down to what those levels are. So, cutting too much kind of spooks the market, but I think the biggest thing that could spook the market is if they have to come back and do an emergency rate cut.
Yeah.
You know, unplanned. That really freaks people out, so.
Yeah. I mean, because realistically, I don't think we've seen anything greater than, 100 basis points. I think that's the biggest that we've ever seen from the Fed. Most of the time, it's usually, 25 basis points increase or decrease. And then, you do get the oddball 75 basis points that happens. And we were kind of talking about that before we got the podcast going, was, kind of different times where that happened. And basically, it always coincided with bad economic conditions, macroeconomic conditions, right?
Right.
Because as much as we got so used to the cheap interest rates, it's kind of getting back to some sense of normalcy. And I don't even know if normalcy is the right word, because we're back to kind of where we were right around 2006.
Right.
But a little bit higher. But I think, because right now the funds rate is 4.75 to 5% once this 50 basis points comes into play. So we'll have to see. And then, I mean, there's still, there's still word that they're going to cut more this year still.
Yeah, so there's another three meetings to go, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I kind of do predict that there will be more cuts, and maybe there is some economic data that they're seeing that is looking not so rosy.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, the job thing is still the thing that stands out to me. The million job rounding error, whatever they call it, the miscalculation, whatever. I don't know.
Revision down.
Yeah. That's fairly substantial. And especially when we're looking at, there's a lot of political headwinds in the way too. Like, how much of this is politically incentivized? I mean, with an election coming up, if they can do something to bolster the economy right before or make it look great and rosy and wonderful.
Well, we've been saying, or at least I've been saying, is that the jobs numbers, I mean, we don't really believe any of the numbers coming out of the federal government, but the one that was most egregious in their just bold-faced lies was the jobs numbers.
Yeah.
And we kept pointing out that, they'll put out a number now, and then like a couple months later, they'll revise everything downward, but they won't make a peep out of it. And that last revision down was just so gigantic that no one could just look away from that. 800,000 down from what they previously said.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about it on the podcast before where they have been caught, but you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter whether we called them on it or not on this podcast. Nobody pays attention to that anyways. But it's one of those things where they continually do it, but there's never, you only hear the news in the press saying, oh, look at how great these job numbers were, but you never hear about the revisions.
Yeah, but they're pretty much in the tank for the incumbent party.
Yeah. Well, and when you look at the jobs, too, that they were reporting, it was like hospitality work, part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff that we saw, right?
Right. Nothing that you would support a family on. Or no. Hopefully you're not supporting a family on.
Yeah, I mean, and given there are people that have to do that. And, God bless them. Like, they're having to work their butts off. But those people are having to hold, two or three jobs to be able to make ends meet.
Yes.
No
sleep for them.
Yeah, they're not getting full-time wages. They're who knows if they're getting any type of benefit on top of that. And so, I mean, I don't know if this is partially just due because they're looking at what they're going to have to release with the job numbers and how continually worse it's getting. How many of those corporations out there are still looking at doing reductions in force? And I think there's still probably quite a few.
Yeah. I mean, we've been hearing about these numbers everywhere. I mean, I was looking at, I work kind of in the farming business, and I know John Deere was laying off a decent amount of people. I don't remember which factory that was in, if it was in Nebraska or Idaho or something like that, one of the Midwestern states. But it's kind of nuts just looking at everything. Everyone's tightening their belts, and everyone just pretending that, the economy's still fine.
Yeah. Best economy in decades.
You just don't know it. You're just too dumb to realize it.
Right.
We're telling you.
We're telling you it's great. Like, this is the best thing ever. It's kind of scary how that's kind of playing out. But really, I mean, I don't know, like, if I'm spooked by this, part of me is really happy about this. Like, I do think this is going to have, obviously, it's having a positive effect on Bitcoin right now in the short term. Hopefully, that'll continue into the long term, because I think, basically, this is kind of the precursor that the floodgates are going to open up when it comes to money printing, right?
Right. Well, and that's kind of the thing that, you know, I mentioned last week in that video I watched by Mark Moss, I believe his name is, and he kind of talked about the cycles of money in global liquidity. And he says when liquidity gets unleashed, it usually goes into gold and Bitcoin at certain rates. Granted, it goes towards Bitcoin at 10 times the rate that it does gold. And I've also listened to another interview with Lynn Alden, and she was talking about the same thing. Basically, global liquidity kind of marks when that goes up, that's when Bitcoin sees the highest rise in price. And it looks like, you know, the rate cuts, the easing of monetary policy, it's basically they're just going to start inflating the dollar. And that's going to be good for Bitcoin, but that's going to be terrible for your purchasing power.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. Yeah. With the dollar, and so looking at the dollar right now, the DXY, let's take a look and see where we're sitting. So the dollar against the yen, the dollar's up 0.75%. Gold is actually, yeah, it's doing okay. It's at 0.07%. I mean, it's in the positive. What's kind of interesting is that the DXY is only up 0.26%, which, I mean, you'd imagine that we would see that kind of start to drop, right? Is it going to print?
Well,
that's how you go.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of central banks that are kind of tied to the dollar, so they can't really mess with things until the dollar gets loosened. But, you know, the other currencies that kind of tie themselves to the dollar are going to do the same thing, or maybe even do something that weakens their currency against the dollar in general. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, and one of the things that I find interesting, too, looking at the charts for today, you know, Dow Jones is down. The NASDAQ is down. SPX is down. Like, all these stocks and stuff like that, I figured they would be on an upswing from this type of data. That, you know, rate cuts are coming. And maybe it's just going to be delayed reaction, or if the market's actually really spooked. I don't know which.
I don't know either. But here's the deal. Like, the markets and how they operate, it's more of a confidence game than it is anything else. So, you know, when people get scared, they get super scared. And when people get exuberant, they get crazy. They get manic. And I don't know if we're going to necessarily see a top this year or sometime next year, but I think, you know, we are due for a correction sometime. Just When is it going to come? That's the key question. Nobody knows.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. Like, I'm going to be kind of curious to see, just, you know, comparing last recording session to this recording session, what is going to happen with the price as we kind of continue down this path? You know, is it really going to be like high risk assets are going to start to really kind of take off? Because I know a lot of people still consider Bitcoin to be kind of that high risk asset, right?
Right.
So we'll have to see. I mean, the printers are coming online. We've seen rate cuts globally from everybody else. So it makes sense that the United States would follow. And I think it's just going to be kind of the waiting game. I mean, Lynn Alden, you brought her up earlier, and she's talking about $100,000 Bitcoin is still on the table for this year because of this. And it goes back to the liquidity thing, like what you were talking about, right? Like, as those printers come online, that money's going to go somewhere.
Yep.
Question is where it's going to go. My other thing, though, too, is like they talk about a lot for businesses taking on capital at this point with, you know, interest rates coming down. I would, if I'm personally as a business owner, would I want to take loans out now or wait until we get another cut?
That's a good question.
You know, I don't know.
are we to take out loans and build up capital and then potentially, you know, everything goes to hell in a handbasket in another year, kind of like they did in 2007, 2008, and then you're screwed?
Yeah.
Or are you going to just do another stock buyback program or something crazy like that to bolster your profits or your...
make your shareholders happy.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's kind of interesting. We'll have to kind of see how that plays out. I mean, you know, and something that we've talked about before, too, is that at least now, if there is emergency cuts that they have to make, the Fed's got some room to make them without us going negative.
Yep.
But
at least that's the appearance. We'll yeah. see.
But inflation is still there.
No, it's not only is it still there, it's coming back with a vengeance. So just buckle up. That's all I'm saying.
That, yeah.
Get your beans and rice now.
Get your beans and rice. Get your freeze-dried food. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see. We'll have to just kind of play it by ear and just kind of watch the market, see how it goes. We did kind of talk, I think, last time that we were looking at a pretty good buying opportunity. I still think we're at a pretty good buying opportunity. If you don't have any Bitcoin, I think now's the time to actually get some under your belt.
Yeah.
Something better than nothing.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to what everyone else is saying, but, you know, there are some comments thinking that this is when the rocket shit takes off. You know, when the liquidity gets in there, things are going to go nuts. I don't know how nuts things are going to go, but we also talked last week that November seems to be a time when Bitcoin goes up. I mean, even October, but November after the election, the U.S. election, and like a winner is decided, then it just, for whatever reason, it takes off. I just don't know if that's going to happen this year or not, you know, because it seems like everything's crazy. There's been another attempt on Trump.
Yeah.
And if they were to get him, I mean, that could throw the U.S. into complete chaos. I mean, it feels like we're inching our way towards some type of civil conflict. And I don't think that's going to be good for any market in general.
No, and I don't think it'll be... And this is the crazy thing, too, is that it's so hard to tell where the pop-off's going to happen if there is a civil conflict. Because it could happen on either side.
Right.
And... Yeah, you brought up one thing that I kind of wanted to touch on real quick, too, is that when we're looking at this, this is kind of what we're expecting to see price-wise, too, according to that chart that we put up on the last recording, where we cross that and, you know, we kind of stay, obviously, like, we are thrown off, and we talked about this last time, we were thrown off because we had such a rise so quickly at the beginning of the year, bringing us back to that barn door of the bull market, and then we've just kind of been trading sideways and down since then. But that time is quickly approaching where we should start to see that rocket ship take off. So, yeah, you know, I hear a lot of people saying that it doesn't matter which one wins. We're still going to see, you know, a skyrocket in the price. I personally, I think the Trump effect may be better for Bitcoin than a Kamala effect. But then you bring up the civil discourse or civil issues that could arise from that as well. And I think that's something to be leery of at the same time. So,
yeah. Well, and I'm just kind of concerned with Kamala winning. It's not that I don't think there would be a lot of people who wouldn't vote for her or, you know, prefer her over Trump. It's just how things played out in 2016. I mean, the accusations were that, you know, the Russia stuff, you know.
Yeah.
How Trump was a Russian agent, and nobody believed that. And then in 2020, when Biden won, a lot of people believed that, you know, it was a whole bunch of voting issues. You know, well, there was even that article in Time magazine about how they fortified the election, which was pretty interesting if you go back and read it in 2021.
Yeah.
You know, like neither side really believes when they lose that they've actually lost. They believe that it was stolen from them.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee that from the Republican side, if Kamala wins, they're not going to believe it one bit.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of those things, like you really got to pay attention to headlines because the headlines will gaslight you. They'll say they're neck and neck, but you really got to read in and see what they say, and then you got to be careful.
Yeah, you got to read like towards the bottom of the article. There's some paragraph where they have this little throwaway line that basically gives away the whole thing, saying they're full of crap and everything else previous.
Yep.
So,
yeah. So keep your head on a swivel. Keep just do your due diligence, just like you should with any investment with Bitcoin. Do your due diligence with your political aspirations. I don't know. That's not the right way to put it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying the whatever your politics are, buying Bitcoin, I think, is the smartest route forward.
Yep. And if you go and you sign up for our newsletter on our website at www.thebitbytepodcast.com, you will also get your self-custody checklist. And you can also go on our deals page and get yourself a hardware wallet if you don't have one already.
Yep. Not your keys, not your crypto.
So
secure it yourself.
Yes, sir. That's all I've got. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, we will keep tabs on this and we will see you all in the next episode.
Bye.